What he said. Amen. John chapter 8. I think I'll begin reading in verse 28. I'll read a few verses, then we'll come back and comment and then get into the message. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. Now that right there is a little support verse for probably one of the most misapplied verses in the Bible that says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And to too much of Christendom, that means get a rock band praising the Lord. And if you lift up the name of Jesus, people will be drawn. But the next verse after that says, this he spake, signifying what death he should die. Lifted up is that cross. That's what that is. And here's the proof text for it, because he's talking to these naysayers, and he said, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then ye shall know that, look at that, I am he. And that's going to be because of the resurrection. So they weren't praising him in this text for sure. Now I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone. I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make ye free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Notice verse 30, and as he spake these words, many believed on him. No invitation. No appeal, no altar call, no raising of the hands, no come down to the front, no personal workers. I'm not opposed to those things. There's differences of administration, but the same spirit. But I'll tell you what happened in the Bible most of the time. People heard the word and they believed. And I think more than not, that's what happens with our we call them second generation. There's no such thing. But the kids that grow up in church, most of the time, I think one day the light just comes on and they believe. And I try not to figure out when they come back again and more or less say, I don't think it's stuck. I think many times the case when they receive Christ as a little child at a young age, and then the knowledge of good and evil sets in. They come to a point where they realize what they're capable of. Where did that thought come from? Where did that word come from? Where did that deed come from? And all of a sudden, whoa, I don't remember this when I was five. Not saying you can't get saved when you're five. I think, Charlie, you got saved when you were four. Mark Helsman as well. Someone told Mark Helsman, you're not qualified to be a missionary. You couldn't have got saved when you were four. I've been serving God for 30 years on the mission field. You tell me he's not saved. I think sometimes young people or old people can't get victory over sin. And so they think, I must not be saved. And in desperation, they call out to be saved. But let me just say this, you that are raising children and coming into all that, if there's one department that belongs to God, it's the saving of the soul. So kind of leave it alone. Don't push it too much. Don't ignore it too much. Walk with God, pray, and let God work on their hearts. And if it needs to be five times by the time they're 20, let it be. Let it be. And now the discourse is going to get really tricky here in John chapter 8, because at the beginning, there's one big group. But then it's going to turn into a mixed multitude that are all still together. In verse 28... he said, when ye crucify me, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man. But then in verse 30, as he spake these words, many in that group believed. So now you've got a group of people with believers and unbelievers in it. In verse 31, In 31. Now he addresses the believers in the crowd. See, it says, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed, if you continue my word, they are my disciples indeed. You should know the truth. The truth shall make you free. And watch who answers now. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed. Notice your paragraph mark. Now the naysayers coming out of that same crowd where the believers and the unbelievers are responding with rejection. So we have two groups together in the audience, believers and unbelievers, and I think it's a great picture of our state in Jesus Christ while inhabiting this world. In our standing, we've taught this a lot, our standing, I am already seated in Christ, in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I am saved, I'm sealed unto the day of redemption. But in our state, especially in New York, pun intended, we find ourselves in the midst of a lost world that is against Christ while we're trying to hear from God. That's what you got. Big group, some believe he's addressing us in that group. So if you will, he's addressing us in the midst of unbelievers. And we're in them, but we're not of them. And after they believe, he gives a conditional. Look at verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, that's done. If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And Brother Dan talked about passion, and we heard the word discipline come up. Now listen, getting saved is undoubtedly the most important decision you will make in this life. But don't doubt it, that the second most important decision you will make is what Brother Dan was talking about this morning, and that's if you will continue and become a disciple. Salvation's greatest impact is in the next life. Discipleship's greatest impact is in this life. Salvation is what God does for you. And I was going to say discipleship is what you do for God, but after Wednesday night, I'm going to say discipleship is what you do of God. Salvation comes. Discipleship stays. Salvation believes. Discipleship follows. Salvation is you getting. Discipleship is you giving. Salvation gets you to heaven. Discipleship uses you to get others to heaven. Salvation is milk. Discipleship is meat. I wonder, are you a saved or a disciple? For when for the time you ought to be teachers. Salvation. I'm sorry, discipleship. Ye have need that one teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. You're just a baby. Salvation, the Bible says, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of the glory of God the Father. Shall, future. Listen, salvation confesses Jesus as Lord in the next life. Discipleship confesses him as Lord in this life. Which are you? A believer or a disciple? It seems like in these last days, Christ has a whole lot of believers, but not a lot of disciples. I don't want to be negative. I don't want to be cynical. But I've worked with Pastor Barkowski for 30 years, and you just pick it up. And I didn't need any help to begin with. This week, article. Over 20,000 attended an outdoor baptism where 4,500 people were baptized last week on a Southern California beach during an outreach event overseen by Pastor Greg Laurie and Harvest Christian Fellowship in what the evangelist believes could be one of the largest mass baptisms ever, motivated by the Jesus Revolution movie. Now listen, if you are sincere, and you're not just a cynical, sarcastic Baptist
that says how many were genuine.
I like what Jack Hiles said. He had a big push to, he said he was reading Acts one day where 3,000 got saved, and God said, you think I could do that now? And anyways, he had this big push, and evidently 3,000 plus got saved. And he said, I was in the service when he said it. He said, I know what you're thinking. How many of those were genuine? How many of those 3,000 were genuine? And then he said, how many of your two were genuine? But you just can't brush that off. I saw the pictures. 20,000 people, 4,500 people coming from all over the world confessing Jesus Christ and being publicly baptized. But I got to admit, I asked the question, where are they? Last winter, 50,000 people descended on a small town in Kentucky at Asbury University. Because there was revival. Wow. One of our men went down there. One of our young men went down there and dealt with people. And this brother told me, I dealt with someone that the first question they asked is, what about gay? Because that's what I am. And he showed him the Bible. And the next day that person said, I'm saved and I'm not gay no more. You don't just brush that off. My question is, where are they? Where are the 50,000? Where are the 20,000? Where are the 4,500? We had 27 bold soldiers out there yesterday occupying for righteousness. And I'm telling you, every Saturday, horns are honking and thumbs are raising. If they don't have a cigarette in that hand. But I asked the question, where are they? And as I studied, God gave me my answer. There's a whole lot of believers, but not a whole lot of disciples. Many believers, few disciples. Many starters, few finishers. Many souls, few bodies. Discipleship is about your body. Noticed in the text, many believed, but discipleship was conditional. And the first question, remember Paul got saved, and the first thing he said, what wouldst thou have me to do? The first question he's going to ask you about after believing is, are you going to continue? Are you going to be a disciple? You getting the difference? Anybody can believe, not anyone can be a disciple. Acts chapter 11. Something I noticed, just... Do you know where they were first called Christians? Do you know who was first called Christians? Not believers. Look at it. Verse 26. When he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And not the believers, the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. See, salvation is inward. Discipleship is outward. Salvation is private. Discipleship is public. I wonder, what are you? And I know what Jesus Christ wants us to be. He's looking at that crowd and they're coming against him and he's preaching, and he knows all of a sudden a bunch of them just believe. Okay, you believe. Step number one, you're going to continue. Luke chapter 14. Not a lot of preaching on this passage in these days. Luke chapter 14. Verse 26. If any man come unto me, so it's open, and hate not his father, and mother, and wife, and children, and brethren, and sisters, yea, and his own life also. Remember, hating life. Ye cannot be my disciple. He didn't say you can't believe. Now, let's define this, because if you're sitting here, wait just a minute. I'm supposed to love everybody. The older women teach the younger women to love their husbands, to love their children. He just said you ought to hate them. Let's take the Bible. Let the Bible define the Bible. Genesis chapter 29. Nothing like a Bible and a dictionary. Genesis chapter 29. Scripture with scripture. Sola scriptura. You don't need Greek. You need English. But I can impress you by saying, well, the Greek word, blah, blah, blah. The Greek word is two eggs over easy, home fries crisp. Anyway, sorry. Genesis 29. I'm sorry. Yes, yes. Genesis 29, verse 30. Verse 30. And he went in also unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet 7 other years. Now watch the definition. And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, well, it didn't say she was hated. It just said that he loved her more. What a coinkadinky that when you go to the 1828 dictionary, you see that one of the definitions of hate is to love less. Scripture is scripture. We don't get nervous. He that spareth the rod hateth his son. That means if you're sparing that rod, you don't love them like you could. So Jesus doesn't say, back to Luke 14, that if you want to be a disciple, oh, you got all these requirements. It's for discipleship. And basically the summary is, the family can't come before Jesus. And that's not a negative, that's a positive, because the best thing you can do for your family is stick with Jesus Christ.
That's right, preacher. That's good.
And some of you are going to have to make a decision. Some of us have had to make it. I got these convictions, and I got these standards, and I've got principles, and I believe it. And then that little angel turns 15, and he or she doesn't. You're going to follow the little devil, I mean angel? What are they going to come back to if they ever want to? And you can be civil, and don't think, love doesn't condone. You can be civil, you can love, we are confident. You know, well, if I say hello, they're going to think I agree with what they're wearing. No, they know where you stand. The trouble is, too many times, they end up wearing what they're wearing. Because the children become God. What a sorry God, a wayward child. Oh, you can be saved, but you can't be a disciple. Let's read on. And whosoever doth not bear his cross cannot be saved. Doesn't say that. And come after me cannot be my disciple. And I think he's going to give you what that, what does that mean? Everybody's got a cross to bear. I think he tells you what it is. For, see that he ties that together. For, which of you intending to build a tower? Are you building? Are you growing? Are you doing something of God and for God? Sitteth not down first, count the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it. He doesn't just stop at being saved. He says, I wanna build gold, silver, precious stones for God. Lest happily, after he laid the foundation, this is what the cross is, and is not able to finish it. All that behold it begin to mock him, saying, that guy got saved, he walked the altar, he walked the aisle, blah, blah, blah. This man began to build and was not able to finish it. Well, what is the cross? There's part of it. Here's the other cross. And what king going to make war? There's no discharge from this warfare. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rules of the darkness, spiritual wickedness. Are you going to go in the battle? You can be saved and not be in the battle, but you can't be a disciple. I want to be a disciple. What king going to make war? That's the cross. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. And we've made it the church a big old recreation room. Sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000. You better count the cost of the cross to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000, or else while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So, likewise, here's discipleship lesson number one. We're getting ready, right, Pastor? Whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple. So if I had to sum up discipleship between Acts 11 and Luke 14, I'd sum it up this way. Christ isn't just part of the disciples' life. He's all of their life. All their eggs are in his basket. He and his work and his will and his worship is top priority over everything. You still have to work. You still have to parent. You still have to bring home the bacon. But he is the priority. So if I have any takers for discipleship this morning, what would the first step be? I'd like to get involved in the discipleship program. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. It gets even gooder. Because I'm not talking about enrolling in a lesson. I'm talking about being a disciple. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse. As I'm reading this passage, I'm picturing Christ looking at that crowd, knowing that some people believed, and addressing the believers in the midst of the big crowd and saying, you know, if you continue, then you can be my disciple. Interesting, he says free. Disciple? Discipline? Dying? And he says free? Absolutely. Verse 14, picture the crowd. You got believers in the crowd. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Or what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? What do you mean? Can I talk to them? Does that mean I can't talk to them? I can't associate with them? I can't work with them? I can't try to reach them? It can't mean that, because Christ did all those things. He even ate with them when they were interested. No, the Bible is clear what a yoke is. It's a piece of apparatus that sets on two oxen to plow. They are purposed, they are yoked, they are tied together with the same mission. And he said, you know what? We are not to be that with unbelievers. And then, well, what is the yoke? He defines it. For, there's that word for again. What fellowship? Companionship, society, consort, mutual association of persons on equal and friendly terms, familiar intercourse. Fellowship. What fellowship hath Christ with the devil? What communion? What concord? What part? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols. They're mutually exclusive. Well, I just agree. This whole recovering fundamentalist thing, it's almost like I got a new term for these people that sit on a computer all day and bash their parents and their pastors and the heritage that they, I call them accusers of the brethren. Amen. Just sit there day and night and take what they didn't like, and I'm not saying it was all right, and bear it to the lost world? Before the unbeliever? Day and night, man. What am I going to get up and say about them today? And see how many likes I can get and money I can make. Accuse them before the throne. Accuse my parents. Accuse my pastor. Day and night. Well, I just, what agreement hath the temple of God? I just agree with the world on this. With what? You agree with their music? Well, I think their music. What agreement? Their dress? Their girls dressing like guys? You agree with that? Yeah, their alcoholic beverage of choice? Those redneck heathens won't even drink a certain kind of thing because even they got convictions. They put a company under. Well, I just don't see nothing wrong with it. What about liberty in Christ? Let me tell you something about liberty in Christ. All things are lawful. I hate to say this. It's against my nature, but it's Bible. If you're saved, you can do anything you want and still be saved. Liberty in Christ, but you cannot be a disciple. There is not liberty in discipleship the way we want to take it. However, if you become a disciple, you'll be free from what? Their yoke, their concord, their society, their mandates. Listen, God didn't tell you to mark your flesh up. I was talking to somebody, he said, yeah, I was talking to this person, they said, her pastor just got a tattoo, or he got these tattoos. He said, well, did he have the tattoos? Oh, no, he just got them. He got a ponytail too. And I'm thinking, does the Bible matter? God didn't tell you to grow a ponytail if you're a man. I mean, talk about the flesh. I'm thinking about it. I went against the grain in everything I've ever done, but why is it that when you buy a motorcycle, suddenly everything has to be black? I'm following these guys the other day. Here they are, Harley Davidson, you know, black. You don't see them with neon green like I had on, because I want to save my hide, that's why. And it was Brother Ackley that brought this truth out to me. He just said, I don't understand why people would want to put markings and patches and paintings of dead body parts all over everything. Why is it has to be a skull? Like you're the first one. Listen, God didn't tell you to put that skull. The world told you. And when you can get that and start to understand, you know what? I'm following somebody. God didn't tell you to poke a hole in your tongue. Well, they just, all this bondage. Who's in bondage? He said if you be a disciple, you'll be free from what? I ain't poking a hole in my tongue. If I was unsaved and me and Pastor Folk was cool, I bet you we still wouldn't poke, because I don't like pain. And I like to eat. All the liberty you want in Christ, you can't have it in discipleship. I am crucified with Christ. Now that he's laid this thing out, verse 17, wherefore, We were taught if you see a wherefore, you better find out what it's there for. Come out from among them and be ye separate, and saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Look at the second half of 16. What agreement hath the temple? For ye are the temple of the living God. And God has said, I will dwell with them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Come out from among them. That's step one in discipleship. And here's what I love about the Lord. Discipleship and continuing doesn't stop with the negative. It starts with the negative. Bear with me. It's not all about dying. It's about dying so that I can live. That's our mandate. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, look at all the lives compared to the dying. I live by the faith of the Son of God that loved me and gave himself for me. You've been here with us. I hope you've been here on Wednesday night. If you're a disciple, you'll be here on Wednesday nights. The building didn't stop after they cleared the rubble. It started after they cleared the rubble. And here's what I'm afraid of. Too many of these recovering fundamentals or our young people. Just all your Christian experience is, I can't. Why can't we do what they do? Why can't we do what the world does? Why can't we do what they do? And you remove the rubble, but you never build. You come out from among them to be separate, but you never accomplish anything. And that's where the freedom, and that's where the action, and that's where the passion, and that's where the purpose is rewarding. It's not, you don't just stop it, then we can't do anything. I tell you, we get accused of harboring. You harbor your children. No, you harbor your children. If you send your kids to a public school and teach them that there's no such thing as gender, you're harboring your kids from God. And I'm going to harbor my kids. What about social? I'll put any 20 of our kids, take any grade you want. Kindergarten, first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, all the way up there. I'll take any one of them and put them against some kid that came up in public school. Let me see your 12-year-old. Let's go out into the group of senators or House of Representatives, or let's meet the president, or let's have our Christmas concert here and talk. And you watch what people say, these old-timers. We've had old-timers here say, this needs to be shown to the world. You keep the world out, and they learn to be social. I gotta take a nap. Okay, Johnny. I know you've been up for 2 hours, and you gotta hit reset. My dad didn't do naps. John 6. Come on now, get with me. John 6. And I'll just tell you right now, you young people, and I got nobody in mind, God is my witness, you trying to change this place, we've changed enough. And all of a sudden you get 15, 16, say, well, I don't see why we just can't do it this way. Go somewhere else and do it their way. I mean, I got young people, young couples saying, can we just keep our little church where the women dress modest and the men are men? Can we? Or do we have to bend and break for everybody? There's 50 churches within 50 miles. You can do whatever you want. And I, from what I've been hearing, he's worse than me, so don't look at me no more. He told me 30 years ago, be not dismayed at their faces, but say, thus saith the Lord, whether they will hear or forbear, because he knows what you're doing on the internet. I don't. Well, I just blew your cover. Sorry. He's going to have 50 D friends today. Some of you girls, what, the things that you're wearing, I don't care. But I just got to tell you what blows my mind. that you go to this church and your parents raised you in this church and you just put a picture of yourself on there and... Where's Gary? Testa dura. That's a hard head, man. Really? Is there something you're trying to prove here? You're going to go on your honeymoon with your bikini on and put it on social media when you attend this church? We had a girl start to dress like a guy, and some girl that used to go here said, "Oh, I'm so happy. I see you got pants on now." Are you serious? You know what your trouble is? You came out, but you never came in. Yeah, everything for you, we just can't do anything. And now we can do it like the world, and it's so wonderful. This was not in my notes. So it's either of God or of the devil, so praise the Lord. John chapter 6. Okay, so he gives this thing. He says, "Except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you." And these Jews are going, "Wait a minute." See, all they could see when it was time to see spiritual, they could only see flesh. When it was time to see flesh, they could only see spiritual. And they said, we can't eat your body. And watch this sad, sad verse. Verse 60. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard... Disciples, not believers. When they had heard this, said, "This isn't hard. This is..." Say the next word. "This is an..." Oh, it's so hard. This is hard preaching. This is an hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at this, he said, "Does this offend you? What and if they shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is a spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing." You're not eating the physical body of Jesus Christ at the Lord's Supper. "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, who should betray him." Verse 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Well, not 13 words. 6, 6, 6. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. You know what's even sadder than not being a disciple in the first place? You used to be one. Why'd they walk away? It's too hard. We got the wimpiest generation in the history of mankind. The heathens have more character than the Christians. The heathens, 50 years ago, nobody wants to work anymore. And the reason they leave with the hard part is because they never got into the good part. They got the crucified, they got the dying daily, but they never got the resurrection part of it. Building is where the purpose comes. Building is where the passion comes. You can't just come out and expect abundant life. You got to get in. Salvation is the vestibule, but there is much more in the house of discipleship. Back to 2 Corinthians 6, and we'll finish up. And just decide, do you want to be a disciple or don't you? I don't know how much of it is personality, Brother Dan, but... everything I got in all the way. And it didn't stop with Jesus Christ. And you know what my friend said, Mary? They said, when he drops it, he'll drop it in a day, just like he did everything else. Yeah, but that's because I was looking for something that wasn't satisfying. And when I found the right thing, 36 years now, still waiting. I'm going to use this verse again to advertise for the Bible conference this week. And I'm going to use it for an illustration. I'm going to, this discipleship ministry we're starting. Because there's an antithesis, if that's the right word, to this verse 14. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. So if I cast off my yoke with the unbelievers and I stop there, I'm wandering aimlessly. I got to yoke up with believers. What fellowship? I am no longer in the ship with the lost fellows. I'm now, I don't stop there. Well, can't do that. And, you know, brother, I don't see Brother Lonsky's family here today, but, you know, that was one of his first concerns. He was a crack addict, man, and he just couldn't, and he was going to the Catholic Church with his wife and trying to get some religion. I had led him to Christ years earlier, and he'd go for a little bit, and they took his credit card away, Brother Bill, and they took his keys away, and he was just sitting there with no money and no keys and no car, and his kids had a company to work and no life. And I was kind of hard. I could take you to where I was at on Crosby Lane, man. I talked to him for 45 minutes. I said, let me tell you, and I wouldn't usually say this so hard. I said, you need to get out of that Catholic church and get around a bunch of hardheads in a fellowship that's just like you. Because your problem, Joe, they've taken away this, they've taken that. You're sitting like this, and man, how long can I last? Oh, I lasted 7 days. I lasted 9 days. I lasted 6 months. You got to get some positive in your life. What? Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, but it doesn't stop there. Yoke up with good believers. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Well, you don't stop there. I want to get in a church with a bunch of people that are in agreement on the King James Bible and Jesus Christ's full atonement. Did you say Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, two preachers? You want me to come to church every night? Church? Acts chapter 2. Only if you're serious about discipleship. Depends what you want to be. He gives the option. Aren't you glad you don't have to come every day to be saved? Acts chapter 2, verse 46. And they, let's start in 45 as long as we're laying it on, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need, and they continued, say the next word, they went to church every single day. Every day? Listen, when we had football practice in high school, double sessions started the second week of August. You went twice a day for 2.5 hours a day. By the end of the season, was say mid-November, you went to practice every single night during the week in between those games. The soccer guys and the baseball guys, they were playing 3 games a week, practicing every single night in between. Starting in ninth grade, and I'm not bragging, I'm ashamed that I'm not the disciple. You know, listen, I was in that gym 6 days a week for 2 hours a day from ninth grade until 22 years old. You know why? I was a disciple. And I studied and I learned and I ate with 40 liver tablets a day. And I was fortunate. I must have a big throat and probably from all that pasta in between. 40 liberty, 10 at a time. Listen, in them days, you guys that are all this high-tech stuff, we were taking protein powder made out of organs. Brains, liver, that was supposed to be it. And you know who I got around? I got around the guys that were bigger than me and stronger than me, the guys that were winners. I didn't get around the guys. And the same thing happened when I got saved, Brother Jay. Brother Jay, point out, see Roger Gente over there? See Bob Dijak over there? See that guy over there? Get around them! I was a disciple, and everybody knew it. How'd they know it? I was growing. I had abs. Now I have ab. See, when you're growing, you can tell you're a disciple of that. Now, can you tell what I'm growing, right? What I'm a disciple of? The kitchen. If we had a 3-day baseball tournament or bowling tournament or euchre tournament, we'd get 20 guys out here. But we're going to have church for a couple and a half hours. 3 nights? I'm going to miss Jeopardy. You know why we get 20 guys? Because you're disciples. You know how I know that you're disciples? You're good at it. It takes your passion. Every day? Listen, every day to the disciple is not a burden. It's a blessing. You know what some of you girls are on social media? Disciples. I'll prove it to you. Bring me your phones after and we'll look at your screen time last week. Hashtag not. Listen, Sunday morning in and out is good for believers, but it won't cut it for discipleship. A proverb and a psalm and a little Bible check chart, it's good for believers, but it won't cut it for discipleship. I'm telling you what will change the world. Disciples will change the world. Believers didn't change the world back there. The disciples changed the world. Review. Determine what do you want. He's calling us out. Come out from among them and be ye separate. And that really, facing discipleship, you need to, we used to ask God, what has to go so that you can start? What relationships have to go? What entertainment has to go? What language has to go? What behavior has to go? Come out, first step. And then come in. Don't just stop at the negative and just look back and say, man, I can't do anything. It's like Lonsky, when I'd get on myself for eating, he'd come up and say, oh, man, don't be so hard on yourself. He says, you took everything else away from us. Eating's all we got left. Amen. Make a decision. Something's got to go out. And then here's a great start. The most practical application you ever heard. Come Wednesday night, Thursday night, and Friday. They're having a little meeting over here for discipleship. What do you have to lose by learning the Bible? Nobody's going to make you get up and preach. It's going to be just tailored, just nice, because we don't want it to be too hard. And then lastly, watch out for the blessings. Because he said, I come that you might have life. I think that's eternal. And life more abundantly. I think that's temporal. And there is nothing as exciting as being radical for Jesus Christ. There's nothing like building something spiritual in a sin-sick sewer of a world. Jason, come ahead. Let's sing a song and we'll go.